Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, or a laptop, or an iPhone, or a tablet, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching a sermon series, including this Sunday, four Sundays in a row, on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And I've stolen I got this idea for the title for the sermon series from Dr. Jerry Vines. it's called The Dark Side. I'm going to be preaching on the dark side, this spiritual war that we're in, for the next four Sundays. And what you're about to hear may be the most important messages that the church will hear this year. Not because I'm preaching the messages, but just what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us these next 4 weeks. There's a tremendous struggle going on. Did you know that? A lot of believers think that we, as soon as you get born again, that you get to jump up and down on a playground. This is not a playground. This is a battleground that we're on. This church has been birthed by the Spirit of Almighty God. We've got a great beginning. But I want to say to you, and God has blessed, hadn't He? Hadn't God blessed us? And so we have upset the apple cart in hell. The devil is not happy with what's going on here. The dark side is not happy. There is a spiritual world that you can't see with your eyes today. There is a spiritual war going on between good and evil. And the forces of evil are led by, the dark side is led by someone I'm calling this morning the dark ruler. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Oh, come on now. We're all on a first name basis with him, aren't we? We know who we're talking about. But this battle has huge consequences that we're in, this spiritual warfare that we're engaged in day in and day out. It affects our families. It affects our home. It affects our community, our neighborhood, our county, and yes, even our country, if not the entire world. There is a world out there that we cannot see, and it is a spiritual war where there are principalities and powers engaging in a battle. And that's what I want to talk to you. And the leader of the dark side is the dark ruler. And so over these next four Sundays, you'll want to be here. We're going to talk about who the dark ruler is today. And then we're going to talk about his helpers. And then we're going to talk about how to get combat ready. And I just can't wait to preach the next four Sundays. So I hope you're here and in attendance. So let's all stand one more time as we honor God's word. If you can, if you can't stand, you just lift up Jesus in your heart of hearts. Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, say finally with me.
Finally.
My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of Cal's, Hampton's might. No, His might. His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. We don't use that word anymore. It's schemings of the devil. Father, sit down amongst us now. Your Spirit that lives within us, that He might teach us truth this morning. God, help us to rightly divide the word of truth. And when we receive the truth, that we might respond to it in obedience. In Jesus' name and for His sake, God's people pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our passage calls the dark ruler the devil. the devil. And that word devil means accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. 24/7, he's advancing in and upon the throne room, and he is accusing us of sin and degradation. He enters in. That's his name, the devil. He's an accuser. There's a lot of other names that the Bible comes up with about him. The Bible calls him Satan, which means he's an adversary. How many of you know he is our enemy? He's not somebody to play around with. He hates God and he hates the children of God. And then the Bible calls him a thief or the thief. He is called a murderer, a liar. And I think the book of Revelation calls him Apollyon, the great destroyer. How many of you know he wants to kill your spirit, steal your joy, and destroy your life? He's working against us. That's who he is. The Bible says that he is like a roaring lion. He's described as a serpent. He is described as an angel of light at times. And then he's also called the God, little g, of this age. So that's who we're talking about. That's who the dark ruler is this morning that we're looking at. Now, I want you to turn left in your Bibles. Over in the Old Testament, there's two passages I want you all to see as we talk about the identity of the dark ruler. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And we're going to look at verses 13 through 19. Now, the first part of Ezekiel 28, you're talking about a literal person, a name by the name of someone who was called the King of Tyre. And I believe that's a person that Ezekiel was writing about. But as you begin to move on down through the passage, starting there at verse 11 and 12, you begin to understand you're talking now about a far more sinister personality. He's talking there about the dark ruler. And it becomes very plain that this dark ruler has a dark personality. And so let's look at him. The dark ruler is first of all described as a created being. Look at verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the days you were created till iniquity was found in you. Lucifer, the son of the morning, the day star, was one of God's highest created angels. He was an archangel. Now the Bible tells us that Michael is an archangel. We think that Gabriel is an archangel. It doesn't really tell us that, but there was two or three angels that were over all the rest of the angels, and he was the zenith of God's created order on day one, created in between the heavens and the earth. God created the angels, and on that day, the first day of creation, he created Lucifer, the son of the morning, the day star. And look at verse 14. It says that you were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. And so this reveals again that he is of the highest created order of angels. And then verse 13 reveals that he was beautiful in every way. This was a gorgeous angel. Look at verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald. What he's doing there, he's describing the beauty of this created angel, this great personality that God created. Now, how many of you know God created us and gave us all a choice? You see, God knows what real love is. It's chosen love. And he gave the angels that choice, whether to serve him or not. And so but now look at this. The workmanship, I'm still in verse 13, the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. Now those are musical instruments, okay? Have you got that? Was prepared for you on the day you were created. And so Satan, the dark ruler, had some type of authority over worship in heaven. I call him the sinister minister of music. Have you ever stopped to wonder why churches have so many problems
and fuss and fight over the music. You know why that is? The dark ruler. We shouldn't be fussing and fighting about what style, what preference, what our music's all about. As long as those lyrics glorify God, that's all that really matters. We need to stop all this, the worship wars that began 10, 12, 15 years ago. Let me tell you who's behind the worship wars. It's the one who was cast out of heaven. His name is Lucifer. That's who he is. He was a created being, but oh, mercy, it gets worse. The dark ruler became a corrupt being. Look at verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart, now this is key, was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings and they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Satan, Lucifer, the dark ruler, whatever you want to call him, had a choice to make. And he decided to rebel against God. He had this choice that we all make each and every day, whether I'm going to serve God and be obedient to God, or whether I'm going to do what I want to do. And we see what Satan decided. We see this amazingly over in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 14. This is the other passage I wanted you to see about. Just turn left a few books in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 14, I believe it is. We looked at this on Sunday night a few weeks ago. On Sunday night. Y'all do know we have church on Sunday night. Oh, me. We're going to the worship wars now, aren't we? Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. I'll give you a second. This is key, y'all, to understanding who he is. Okay? How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Now listen, five times he says, I will, I will. Listen to this. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. You see, in the economy of God, brothers and sisters, the way up is down. God said, okay, Lucifer, you want to ascend to the throne? You want to be worshipped? The Bible says pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. And I want to tell you, Satan had a great fall. God cast him out of heaven. Pride's what got him in trouble. It was pride that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. It was pride that got Adam and Eve booted out of the Garden of Eden. And it is pride this morning that will cause Second Mile Church to miss out on God's best. Serious thing. I will, I will, I will, I will. And so he became a corrupt being. He's also a condemned being. We don't have time to look at these two passages of Scripture this morning, but you can jot them down. Genesis 3:15 tells us that his days are numbered. The Bible says that the seed of woman would crush his head one day. You know where Satan was defeated? At the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. And now I'm happy all the day. Satan was defeated at Calvary. His kingdom came crashing down. He was defeated on the cross and in the tomb. And then Matthew 25, 41 tells us that hell was created for the devil, our accuser, the dark ruler, and his demons. Hell has his name on it. Somebody asked me outside, said, "Wow, you're looking black today. Johnny Cash dressed him up." I said, "I'm fixing to preach on hell." When's the last time y'all heard a full-blown sermon on hell? Well, we're going to dig that one up real soon. We don't preach enough about hell. It's a real place. But God created hell for the devil and his angels, not you. Not you, not you. He created hell for the devil and his angels. He's a condemned being. The dark ruler now still has some authority. Amen? He's the prince of the air. He's got more power than you and I do. And he's got some demons. Some demonic angels. Millions of them. And guess what? He's got millions of children. Satan is their father. You're either a child of the king or you're a child of Satan. It's one of the two. It's real simple. And so that's who he is. He is a created being. He's a corrupt being. And he is a condemned being. His goose is cooked. He's headed to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. All right, that's his identity. But here's... I've got to hurry. When did we start putting God on a clock in the church house? The strategy of the dark ruler. What does he do? We've looked at his identity. Who is he? Here's what he does. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to..." It just says to stand. You know, so many of us think we can whip the devil. You can't whip the devil. And there's nowhere in Scripture that says that you can bind the devil. He's not going to be bound until he's thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He is a tough adversary. And his plan is to defeat you. He wants to make you miserable. He doesn't want you to have abundant life. He doesn't want anyone to have eternal life. He wants to take as many people as he can to the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. And I'll tell you what, he is slick and he is smooth and he is subtle. I want you to look at his... Well, 2 Corinthians 2:11 reveals that he puts devices to use. He's got some devices that he uses to defeat us. 1 Timothy 3:7 says that he sets snares, traps for us. How many of you know Satan is tricky? Say it with me. He's tricky. I'll give you another opportunity. He's tricky. He is smooth. He's slick. I mean, he is subtle and he is after you, my friend. He wants to defeat you. But I've got some good... And here's his strategy. We need to understand how he acts and how he... How many military folks we got in here? Past, present, and future? Raise them up, y'all. Be proud to be a military man or woman. All right. We got a few in here. God bless you all. And if you talk to any of our military men and women, they know who the enemy is. And you know what they're doing? They're studying the enemy so that they can learn more about him, so that they can defeat the enemy. Austin Peay, how many of y'all got your tickets this year for football? Two of you. I'm going to call Coach Will Healy and tell him on y'all. But Coach Healy is the head coach of Austin Peay's football team. And do you know when Coach Healy starts preparing for the next game? Just several minutes after the game he's just played. And he begins listening to tapes and looking for how they play the game and looking for their tendencies and how they line up, the different plays that they run, so that he can come up with a game plan to defeat the next team that they're playing. Ooh, I've got some good stuff for y'all. Are you ready? Look at your neighbor and say, "You're not ready." All right. The dark ruler has a threefold strategy, and this is what I wanted to get to. The dark ruler has a threefold strategy. Number one, he's going to attack you mentally. Say that with me. He's going to attack me mentally. He's coming after your mind. I said he's coming after your mind. When a person strays from the truth, how many of you know you're on the downhill slide? And so he's going to attack you mentally. Now, you remember the conversation he had with Eve? Some of y'all were there. I'm just kidding. Some of y'all don't even get what I'm saying. That's all right. Eve, God didn't really tell you you couldn't eat from that tree over there. I mean, he didn't really mean what he said. You're not going to die. As a matter of fact, if you eat from that tree, you're going to become like him. You're going to know good from evil. You see, what he does to you is he attacks your mind. He wants you to think like he thinks. And so he's going to lie to you. And that's all he's ever going to... I mean, if he's got his mouth open, he's lying. And so he's after your mind. That's why it's so important. You hear Billy Walker in Sunday school, in adult Sunday school. Get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Obey the Bible. We are living in a day and a time where we've got to know truth. Because Satan is a liar. And so he's after your mind. He's after you mentally, and then he's after you morally. Once he attacks your mind, then he's coming after your heart. And once he's got your heart, boy, he's well on his way to defeating you. The devil doesn't love Jesus, y'all. And he don't want you to love Jesus. I love our kids back here in the and you ask, if I were to walk back here or parade them out here and ask all those kids, do you love Jesus? Do you know what they'd say? Yes, we love Jesus. One of our lawyers, Kevin Kennedy, he comes to church down here a lot on Sunday nights. And every time I see Kevin, you know what he asks me? Do you love Jesus? Cal, do you love Jesus? Because he understands that the devil is after my heart. He's going to attack you morally. And then thirdly, he's going to attack you motivationally. He wants your will. He's after your will. Once he gets your mind and your heart, he's after your will. Now, there are really basically three different kinds of wills in this world. There's God's will, there's Satan's will, and there is your will. Which will you surrender to? That is good. I'm going to say that one more time. Which will you surrender to? I'm praying God's will. Because His will's best. He knows what's best for you, friend. He knows what you need more than anything else. And God's will is always what's best for Cal Hampton. And so we need to know what He wills. And the reason Satan wants to capture your will is so that he can get his will done in your life. Now, let me just say a word about addictions. Okay? Everybody with me? Y'all lean in. We've all got some kind of addiction. All right? Gossips, liars, thieves, fornicators, adulterers, drunkards, dope heads, whatever you want to call them. Folks who practice that those sins on a regular basis, they are addicted to sin. Satan has captured their will. I mean, this is such a great example. Look what Satan did to Judas. Y'all know who I'm talking about there? Isn't it amazing no one ever names their child Judas? There's a reason for that. You remember in John chapter 12 and verse 5, when this lady had anointed Jesus with that sweet perfume in that alabaster box, And you remember what Judas said to Jesus? You wasted that perfume. You let her waste that perfume. She could have spent, she could have sold it. Man, we'd have had enough money to feed the poor for months. You ain't, where'd that thought come from? That's right. So he's attacked him mentally, then he attacked him morally, and John 13:2 says that Satan entered his heart. And then John 13:27. The devil took over his will, and Judas went out and sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's his strategy, y'all. He's coming after your mind. Then once he's got your mind, he's coming after your heart. And then once he's got your heart, he's coming after your will. And when he's got your will, it's Katie bar the door, as they used to say. That's his strategy. That's what he does. I told y'all I'd never leave you bleeding. Are you ready for the good news? 12 of you? Are y'all ready for the good news over here, folks?
Yes.
Are y'all ready for the good news?
Yes.
How about this bunch over here? Y'all ready for the good news? I still don't know about y'all over here. Are y'all ready to hear the good news? Aren't you tired of hearing about defeat and addiction and all this mess? We got the best news that there is. Let's talk about the defeat of the dark ruler and our victory, okay? The first thing that you need to realize, and we've already talked about it, is the devil is a defeated foe. He's whipped. His goose is cooked. He's done. He's defeated. But in your own power, hello? You can't defeat him. The first thing you need to do is found there in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, say power, of His might. You need to claim God's power. Write it down. Some of y'all have a mind like a steel trap because you never make any notes. Claim God's power. That's the first key to victory. Claiming God's power. Have you done that? The dark ruler is doomed. Jesus defeated him 2,000 years ago. We've already covered that. But how many of you know what Colossians 2:15 says? Talks about how Jesus disarmed the devil. He disarmed principalities and powers, making a show of them openly. Triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross and in the tomb. Satan has been disarmed. He's defeated. And you need to claim God's power. Revelation 12:12 and Revelation 20 and verse 10 talks about how Satan is on a short leash and eventually he's going to be cast in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. First, I love 1 John 4:4. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. He's been defeated. You have God's power to claim this morning. And you can move from death unto life. You can have victory today. God is greater than Satan. The dark ruler is done. You need to claim power that you have over him. Anybody know what Ephesians 3:20 says? Y'all need to start memorizing some scripture. Get God's word in your heart. Oh, that's too much work. That's why we're so defeated in life. I love you enough to tell you the truth. And we know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can even ask or think. Here's the best part. According to the power that works in us. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got the power. I mean the Holy Spirit, you've got that energizer spiritual bunny in you. And you've got the power to live above your circumstances. To live above your situations. The same power that got Jesus up out of the grave is available to live the Christian life. You can be a winner. Claim God's power today. It's the strongest power in the universe. Here's the second key to victory. Claim God's provision. Look at verse 11 again. Put on the... What some of us are doing is we're just putting on half the armor. Or a little piece of the armor. And we're going to talk about getting combat ready in depth in a couple of weeks. God loves to provide victory for His children. He does not want you to live in defeat. Claim God's provision. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to whip the devil, bind the devil, slap the devil, kick the devil, stand. Just stand. You know what I do when I'm under temptation? Most of the time. Satan comes knocking at the door. And y'all, he hits me where I'm weak. Okay? He's not going to hit me where I'm strong because he's wasting his time there. But he's going to hit me where I'm weak. And so when I'm weak, here comes old Slewfoot. Oh my. Here he is again. Jesus, would you go answer the door for me? Just go answer the door for me. And I've heard this several times over the last few or four or five weeks. I've got to finish. You know what it's like to serve back here? I'm ever mindful of that. It's great. Ask Donna Rainey. She's sitting right back here. Well, God will never put more on you than you can stand. That is a lie from the pit of hell itself. God will put more on you than you can stand. He will. There's no Bible verse. How many of you thought that's in the Bible? God will put more on. God will never put more on you than you can stand. Come on now, y'all. I've heard y'all say this. God never said that. But I'll tell you what He did. He does say, I'll never put more on you than I can stand. That is a great word today. It is. Get a hold of it. Claim God's provision. He can take care of the mess in your life. He's able. And if you didn't, let me give you one verse and we're done. Don't turn there, just listen to this. It's a good verse of Scripture. Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. Paul's giving his testimony. He says, I will deliver you. God says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Listen to verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. There's victory in the Lamb that was slain. Do you know Him today? Are you in a personal relationship with Him? I mean, are you walking with Him? Are you talking with Him? Is He speaking truth into your life? Are you being obedient to Him? God brought you here to claim His power and to claim His provision. Let's do that by faith today, shall we? Second mile, let's pray. Just bow your head and let's pray. Father, we just rest assured in the fact that there is victory in Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to understand this morning that greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. That you're able to take care of all of our issues. And we all got issues, Lord. You know what they are. And there's some folks here today that are living in defeat. They don't understand why. And God, it just may be that they need to move from death unto life. And if you're here this morning and you need to receive Christ, He needs to be the Lord and Savior of your life. You know it and He knows it. Oh, you may belong to a church family somewhere. Maybe you've been baptized, but you're not born again. The Bible says if you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith receive what Jesus Christ did for you 2,000 years ago by calling on His name to save you, He will do that. And then He'll begin this work in your life that you need. You just pray and ask God right where you sit. And I think the vast majority of us today need to claim God's power and claim God's victory and understand Satan's strategy so that you can stand against the evil one. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us. We claim it in the name that's above every other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We pray this and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and you've prayed to receive Christ for the first and only time, I want to know about it. You just come on, get up out of your seat, share with me. I've got some stuff I want to put in your hands. But I think the vast majority, aren't you tired of living in defeat? Aren't you tired of eking out some kind of wilderness existence? You can have abundant life today. I'd love to pray for you. We've got prayer warriors all across the building here. We'd love to pray with you, but you've got to come. And we'll pray if you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.